The differences are there. I don't know if anyone's been married longer than Anne and I. We've been married 40 years. I've known her 43. Anyone can beat that? No, okay. Well, oh yeah, sorry, at least two people. Of course, I remember Lisa, yeah, sorry. Well, can you say that, you know, you're still amazed by the fact that your spouses take a different view on you on almost everything? Yeah? Yeah? You know, with Anne and I, if we are trying to do something, if we're trying to decide on anything, in fact, furniture, something for the house, where we're going to go on holiday, almost anything, Anne will take an opposite view to me. Even though you'd think after all those years together, and I... daughter described us as a happily married couple the other day, you know, that have got a happy marriage. And we have, by the grace of God. But we are very, very different people. And I when I was working, it's a little bit, but I did psychometric tests on people. I must have done it on over 1,000 people. And one of them was Myers-Briggs, the best of the lot of the test instruments. And it happens to turn out, when I did it with Anna, she's exactly the opposite on me in every category. And that doesn't come as a surprise, but yeah, we're all different. But that doesn't mean we can't work together, but we are all very different, although, as I said, there are similarities. So when we come to look at who are we, I can't say, well, Kelvin is this. Because to be honest with you, I haven't got a clue who Kelvin is, really. You know, I mean, I can see some things. He's a good egg in many ways, but no doubt, like Claire would say, that he's got his bad side as well. or a different side anyway, Kelvin. Sorry. I sent him, in fact, was it yesterday? Yesterday, I sent him an email saying, good morning at about 9 o'clock in the morning with a kiss. And he very graciously responded back, good morning, no kiss. The reason that you got it there, have you?
It says then, good morning, exclamation mark.
Oh, right. Not kiss, then. I didn't put a kiss on. Oh, I put a kiss. You put an exclamation mark. I tell you why, because Anne was away at her mother's Friday night, and I thought I was sending it to Anne and saying good morning to her with a kiss. I thought it was odd that she hadn't replied as well. And then they had this thing from Kelvin, and I thought, oh my goodness, you know, how can I retrieve myself? He's very gracious about it, actually. So thanks, Kelvin. Yeah, thank you. Right, so we are all very, very different as people, very different. And some people find that hard to reconcile. So when we come to saying, who are we, I think we have to... be aware of that. But the funny thing is, God loves us all. God strangely loves Anne Harrod, and he loves Mark, and he loves everyone. Kath, I'm not sure about. But he loves everyone. And even though you're very different, he loves everyone. And he's included you in his family. And just as, you know, my two kids are very different in very many ways, but Anne and I love them. It's always astonishing, isn't it? You bring two kids up the same way. Are you a kid's different? Because you've got two girls. Are they very different? It is strange, isn't it? I mean, you'd think they'd be unaccountable because Matthew's a boy and obviously Kevin's a girl, so you could understand a certain amount of difference there. But two girls brought up the same way, they should be the same. But they're not. They are very much different. And I guess most of us could say that about our family. You can't, though. Can you, Carl? No. There we are. All right, take that away. Right, so what's all this about? So you got to know, it's about loving and knowing yourself. I'd like to start off with, different again, see? Matthew chapter 22, verse 35. Okay. We'll read from 34. Watch. Oh, right, okay. Right. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this is oft repeated in the New Testament. In Matthew 19, verse 19, it says the same. Love your neighbor as yourself. In Mark 12, 28, 31, the same. In Luke, actually, Jesus says to a teacher, he said, well, what do you think is most important? And he says exactly the same, back to Jesus, and love your neighbor as yourself, the second one. And he said, do this and you will live. Do this and you will live. If you want life, follow those commands. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. In James 2, verse 8 says the same. And in Galatians 5, verse 14 and 15, again, love your neighbor as yourself. And I want to concentrate on that bit that says yourself, okay? We all understand that we've got to love other people and we've got to love God, obviously. But love your neighbor as yourself. You have to respect and love yourself. Otherwise, you cannot, I don't think, have a proper relationship with your neighbor, with your partner, with your family, with your friends, with people in church, goodness knows who else. You can't really have a good relationship, I don't think, with other people if you denigrate yourself, if you are down on yourself, if you feel that you're a failure, if you feel that no one loves you and that you're unloved because you deserve to be unloved. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. You must love and respect yourself because Christ loves and respects you and wants you to love and respect yourself. You know, I'm not going to do it, by the way. I'd love to put you to put your hands up or stand up if you love yourself. And I'm sure there'd be some people who don't love themselves, that they're not happy with themselves in some way or wish they were different people. And understandably, there are things that go wrong in our lives and we seek repentance for it. But look, it's from that basis of love. You must love and respect yourself, right? Love and respect, and really that's the message tonight, is love and respect yourself. So from that base, from that understanding, from that position, you can love other people and you can have a true relationship with God as well, I feel. You know? To release yourselves by loving God, loving yourself, and then loving other people. That's the sort of triangle. If we were into shapes, which I'm not, that would be the triangle. Okay, just to move it along, let's have a look at that Galatians quote that we've got here somewhere. Right, Galatians 5, verse 14 and 15. The entire law is summed up in a single command. So, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. And here it's a warning that if you don't love your neighbor as you love yourself, then that can lead to all sorts of bad outcomes in terms of your relationships with other people. You know, just another sidelight on this aspect of it. In Matthew 7, let me find it. It says, do unto others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So do unto others what you'd have them do to you. In other words, again, that element of self-respect, self-love, if you like. I mean, I'm not talking about self like a narcissistic love, you know. The story in Greek mythology where Narcissus looks in the pond because he loves himself and he fell in love with his own image. It's not that sort of love. Obviously, that's a destructive and negative love when you put yourself above everything and everyone. I'm talking about self-respect. I'm talking about loving yourself in the sense of respecting yourself and enjoying yourself. And that's what Christ wants for you. He wants you to enjoy yourself. He wants you to respect yourself so that you can move on from there and respect others. Okay. In fact, was everyone here when Emma Lewis was speaking the other day? Yeah? Do you remember what he said? It struck me. The only thing that struck me about that really was He said that when he wasn't a Christian, he put himself first in everything. You know, and I think in some ways this is a good definition for you as to what is a Christian. He put himself first. When he became a Christian, he realizes now he puts God first, then his family. He actually said his wife and children before himself. And in a way, he can, yeah. So it's about putting God first and, you know, not yourself, but having that right relationship with yourself as well. Okay, so what's God's attitude to us? Well, we all know John 3, verse 16, which is the most famous, probably the famous verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world. Let's never forget that. It's not only that he loves us. He loves the world out there. You know, he loves the whole Castleview. Strange, but true. He loves Castlemaine. Maybe. he definitely loves St. Enid. Not arbitrator. God loves the world, and that's the basic foundation of his relationship with us, that he loves us, that he loves the world. In 1 John says, and this is you now he's talking about, by the way, right? So this is why you should love yourself as well in a right way. And that's John chapter 4 verse 10, and it says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. God loves you. God respects you. Why wouldn't you respect and love yourself? God has given you that permission, and he's raising you up. In his esteem, you were worth loving. So you should love. Love and respect yourself. In John 1 John 3, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. That we should be called the children of God. Years ago, there was a cult called the Children of God. Anyone into Fleetwood Mac? Well, one of the original band of Fleetwood Mac. Thank you. Some cultured person here we've got. Well done. He actually joined this cult called the Children of God. Very, 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 very weird and way off track. But, and so he fell into disrepute. It's a bit edgy, isn't it? Saying, oh, I'm a children of God. But you are, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. And do you know what? Look at that little one there, right? You know, they when he cried, they didn't hit him. They didn't say, ooh, you know, crying, it's a bit of a pain, hit him. No, they found something for him to play with, or someone else did. Who did? Well done if you did that. And look, he's happy now, right? God gives us, well, the Bible says somewhere else, doesn't it? It says that if we ask for our earthly father for bread, he doesn't give us a stone, or if we ask for something else, he doesn't give us a snake, something like that. And it's true, you know, so God gives us good gifts, and God loves us because, you know, we are lovable in his sight. And we've got to enter into that state and really be fully aware of that and allow that to permeate us, that we are lovable and likable by God, and we should be by ourselves as well. Okay, in Psalm, this is a bit strange, this Psalm. So for the people who like strange readings, I'm going to read it for you. For you were created in innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And in Jeremiah, it says something very similar about Jeremiah, that he was known in the womb. So each one of you is unique. Each one of you is different. Each one of you is loved. You're loved. God loves you. Be free in that. Enjoy that. God loves you. You are a child of God. If you have faith in him, you have access to him, to enter into his family through by grace through faith, if your faith in him. So enjoy that. You are a royal priesthood. a holy nation, in 1 Peter it calls, right? A royal priesthood, a holy nation. Once you weren't a nation, once you weren't, but let's read it, rather than paraphrase. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you were a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And why did he do it? So you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. But if you don't realize you're a priest, if you don't realize that you are a member of the royal priesthood, a chosen people, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, then you can't really worship him adequately. Yeah? So, I'm hammering this. I want you all to go out here tonight, speaking to myself as well, really believing that God loves us and wants the very best for us, just as a father or mother would their child. Okay, I'm going to read. I bet everyone could quote this, could they? Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. Who knows what that says? Absolutely. Well done. That reformist background has stood you in good stead, Angela. Right. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are feeling condemned, lay hold of this. Lay hold of this, right? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. There is no condemnation. Do not leave here tonight feeling condemned when you can have access to Christ and ask forgiveness for anything, and he'll give it to you. That's his promise. Because that's what we would do to our kids, isn't it? You know, and he's so much greater than us. Right, there's one last reading I want to read. And that's from John 15, verses 9-17. John, definitely New Testament. Right, John 15, 9-17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. This is Jesus speaking. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. That he takes joy in us. You know, he takes joy in us. That my joy may be in you. And that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Jesus is saying he's your friend. He's your father. You're in his family. He's your friend. You're one of his children. You're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. So, we come to it. Who are you? You are the beloved of God. That's who you are. You're the beloved of God. Isn't that incredible? You're the beloved of God. I'm the beloved of God. A child of God, someone who Christ calls friend. Yeah, you know, that's you, that's you. Christ calls, perhaps in heaven, if they're having a discussion, oh yeah, my friend Joe. You know, my friend Joe, who lives in Astronauta. Not friend anyway, if you have a friend from Astronauta. My friend Lisa from Neil Lansbury Park. there we are, proves anything. My friends from Arbitrato. You're known by name. You're loved. He knows the hairs on your head. There's no need to feel condemned. There's no need to feel ashamed. There's no need to feel left out or hurt. Because the love of God overcomes all that. The love of God makes up for all that. And he wants you to respect yourself, to love yourself. And he wants you to bear fruit. He wants you to be fruitful people. You know, we've been going these last few weeks about talking about different gifts and, you know, praying with people. And, you know, God wants you to enjoy everything. God wants you to, you know, have what you need, not just for yourself, but for the church and beyond the church as well. He wants to equip you so that you bear fruit. Because that's the best place to be, isn't it? When we are empowered, when we're actually not sitting down watching telly or lying on bed or doing nothing. It's when we're working fruitfully and effectively for God. That's when we feel at our best. And it's the same with general work as well. When we are feeling that we're achieving something, that's whether it be work or looking after children or caring for someone or whatever. If we feel that we're achieving something, we feel better about ourselves and we feel good. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be effective and more effective so that we can bear fruit. Okay, I think my time's gone. Bye. Carol. Thank you.
I think as the team just come up, if they can start playing, it would be really good if we can just spend just a few minutes just taking some of that in and just allowing it to sink into our hearts and into our minds that God, the Saviour of this world, loves you. He calls you.